This feature is sponsored by Old Mutual Insure, an authorized financial services provider. Speak to your broker or visit ominsure.co.za.
Today on our podcast series brought to you by Old Mutual Insure, we're taking a look at risk management, and in particular, what organizations ought to do to ensure that they have an effective risk culture within their organization in a manner that doesn't run the risk of jeopardizing and exposing their entire organization to risk events that could potentially not only affect their top line and bottom line, but also affect some of their intangibles, as things like goodwill, reputation, and all of the other intangible and emotive things that inform and drive and influence market sentiment. I'm joined by the Chief Risk Officer at Old Mutual Insure, Thabile Nyaba, who joins us for this conversation. So, Thabile, kunjan.
I'm good, thanks. And yourself?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent.
Let's maybe start off here for some of us lay people. When we talk about risk management in organizations of all sizes, one would think that, you know, it probably takes on a more crucial and critical role in bigger organizations, but even for smaller organizations as well, who are on a growth trajectory, it becomes as important. When we're talking about risk management, practically, operationally, and by way of day-to-day workplaces, what do we mean?
Okay. I like the way that you said it, from the big corporates to the small corporates, but actually even do it at your own personal level.
Sure.
So risk management, really, it's all about making sure that you are taking the risks, you are doing what is right. You know, you're avoiding things that will actually put you, if it's a corporate, you don't want to take those risks that will put you in the, you know, now in the billboard, or in the news, on the in front page. And also making sure that you are taking the opportunities that will enhance, you know, the value of your organization. But it's all have got to be calculated. So it's really all about just making sure that in every decision that you are taking, you're thinking about the consequence of that, the impact of the decision that you're actually taking in your day-to-day operations. And this goes to throughout all the different organizations, like you've said, even the small one. The small one, you still want to grow. So you have to make sure that your reputation is proper. You want to make sure that financially, you don't want to actually expose yourself financially, and ensuring that you're making just the right, you're making the right decisions, basically.
Now, on the one hand, you would have sort of risk management, which would probably be sort of standard operating procedures to preempt or ensure that you mitigate the big impact of certain risk events, be it from a financial perspective, reputationally, operationally, and otherwise. But there's then, of course, this notion of a risk culture, which I would think is how people within the organization think about risk events, influence risk events, or even approach risk events. What is that in relation, of course, to risk management and the impact that it has on governance?
Okay. So risk culture talks to the behaviors. Risk management normally has been driven mostly around the frameworks and the methodologies. You know, what you're talking about, you need to assess if it's high or low. And now it's moving more to the behaviors, because if you look at most of these corporate failures, they have been mostly attributed to the behavior. Somebody making a wrong decision, or somebody doing something that is actually wrong. So culture is really all, I mean, the risk culture is all about the behaviors, the attitude and the assumptions that people have, or that they have when it comes to the risk matters, how they evaluate risk, how they talk about risk, what sort of risk are they actually taking as well. And that is normally informed by the tone at the top.
Mm. And what does an effective and ideal or optimal risk culture look like?
So the ideal culture is, I normally look at it, highlighting the different behaviors that we'd actually expect. So a healthy risk culture, if you can call it that way, it's the one that you can talk freely about the different risks that you're actually facing. So you can challenge, you can bring the bad news, you can also celebrate the good news. Sometimes people are very reluctant to bring in or highlight those risks, because it might just be an indication of wrong things that are being done, sometimes by the executives, and then they hold on. But if we are actually an organization that allows that and promotes that, even if you're seeing something wrong that is being done, you have to report that. If you're seeing something that is going to expose us as an organization to a reputational risk or the financial implications, then you need to talk about that. It also talks about the behaviors that we condone as an organization, and the behaviors that we actually punish as an organization as well.
What impact does that have on governance? And the reason why I ask that is because we've seen all manner of corporate governance scandals and catastrophic collapses, be it from Steinhoff, VBS, and even some of the organizations that we would have expected to play a role within that risk culture, right? I think of the auditors whose function is to really look at your books and be able to flag some of the impending or looming fiscal or financial risks that a company would face. And yet it seems that they've also found themselves falling foul of some of their own internal methodologies and even some of the risk cultures that are internal to those organizations. How do we recover from this? And more importantly, how does risk management play a role in trying to sort of, reconfigure that tarnished image from a governance perspective that is associated with many South African firms?
Okay. I always believe that effective risk culture is very fundamental to good corporate governance. And the reason why I'm saying this is because if you've got a matured risk culture, you are able, you know, to think about the impact of what you're actually going to be doing. We know that most organizations, I mean, big corporates and small corporates, just throughout, because of the environment that they operate in, we sometimes want to achieve the top line and the bottom line. Sometimes we actually want to do this at all costs. And then we know that the pressures that people have got as well, because some of these deliverables are actually linked very much so to their incentives. So they end up actually just doing something that is wrong in order to achieve the objectives, the top line and the bottom line as well. So the risk culture actually assists you in ensuring that think about what you're actually going to be doing and think about the impact of the decision that you're making. Because sometimes it might look good now, but these things have got a way of coming through. They've got a way of actually revealing itself, like we are actually seeing in some of the corporates now. So the matured risk culture actually assists in ensuring that the decisions that you are actually making are calculated. And you are not saying we should not take any risk at all, but all that it says is that we are taking a risk. I mean, we're taking calculated risk. We know the impact of what you're actually doing. We know the impact of the decisions that you want to make, and we've thought it through, and we're saying, you know what, that is fine. This is a risk that we're actually prepared to take.
Let's speak about mature risk cultures, and I want us to speak about it in the context of what you mentioned earlier on around some of the behaviors. Well, what behavioral norms would be associated with a mature risk culture?
So one of them is the way that we respond to the new risk information. Are we actually very quick in addressing that risk? Are we actually react appropriately? Do we put in the right measures to mitigate that risk, or we just put it on the side? Also, it talks to, once then we've heard about something that has actually occurred, do we try to sort it out, or we try to hide it? What information do we then convey to the different shareholders, to the different stakeholders, be it the shareholder, be it the media, be it the people, even within the organization, if something wrong has actually occurred? So it also talks to being open and honest and admit that, you know what, maybe we've made a mistake. And if that happens, then do we have a culture that actually embraces a learning? We're saying, you know what, we made a mistake and we're prepared to learn from this mistake, or we've got a blaming culture or the culture of fear. Like if you've made a mistake, oh gosh, now you're in trouble. You have to live in fear. So those are the kind of things that actually start to indicate the type of the risk culture that this organization have got.
Yeah. So when we take a look at risks, Sistabile, you know, as professionals in the risk management space, you guys have all manner of categorization of some of these risks. You often see this in dashboards that are presented to say this kind of risk is probably sort of one we ought to take, and this one maybe sort of a red light on that one, probably not now or not ever. How does that categorization happen, and how does that appetite statement come into being?
Okay. So we've got different responses to the risk, if I can call it that way. There are four responses to the risk, and we call them 4 T's. So the first one is to treat, meaning that this risk we're going to put in the mitigations to treat it because it's within our appetite to treat it. The other one is tolerate. Some risks we need to tolerate because there's nothing much that we can do about it. We just have to live with this particular risk. The other one is terminate. That is the one then when you say, you know what, I am not prepared to take this risk at all because it's outside our appetite. I always use an example of flying all your executives in the same flight, you know, at the same time. It's a risk that you probably just want to terminate, because in case something happens in that, the whole executive team will be wiped out. Needless to say that when I sent that to one of the teams, that I was doing a presentation on, he asked me if that is a risk or it's an opportunity. Then the fourth one is actually that to
depending on how you look at it, right?
That's exactly what he said, is it depends on how you look at it. Yeah, but for the organization, that's certainly a risk that needs to be terminated. And then the fourth one is to transfer. And the normal way of transferring the risk, it's through the insurance. So we'll decide that, you know what, this risk, maybe it's big for us, we just want to transfer it to a third party. And those are the different types of the responses that you can have to the risk.
And these would be tools that are applicable to businesses of all sizes. So even that mom and pop store with three employees would probably find resonance with that kind of approach of the 40s.
All of them. As an organization, whether you're the small one, you need to say, you know what, in order for me to grow, these are the risks that I need to take. But in order for me to grow as well, these are the types of risks that I'm not prepared to take. So okay. It's applicable to everybody.
All right. Last one on my end. You speak about risk cultures or risk management, not necessarily implying that people should not be taking risks. And I think the nature of business is that from time to time, you will be expected to take risks. And that's something people naturally anticipate in the ordinary day-to-day work that they conduct in businesses of all sizes. And one gets a sense that in the South African business landscape, there's this strong risk aversion. There's a sense that we reward people who conservatively take on as limited a number of risks as they can. And yet it does seem that with the challenges that we have in this country, we ought to be taking a lot bigger risks and actually taking a chance on some enterprises. It might not necessarily be internal, but even within the ecosystem, be it your supplier relationships, some of the enterprises that you develop from a transformation perspective. How do we balance that? This need on the one hand to maybe have a more risk-loving approach to some of the big problems that we have commercially or socioeconomically, while also doing that in a manner that is able to mitigate some of the downside risks.
So what we normally encourage the organizations to have is what we call the risk appetite. So that actually defines the type of risk that we're prepared to take in different categories as an organization, and the types of risk that we are not prepared to take. So as we engage, because I mean nowadays it's all about innovation, but I mean as we innovate, come up with either the new products or the new strategy, we need to ensure that we are actually doing all of this within the parameters of our risk appetite statements or our risk appetite. So it's one of the key components is to have a well-defined appetite statement that gives kind of like the playing field, that this is the field that you can play in. You can't go outside this field, but you can then within this, you can innovate, you can come up with the new ideas, you can grow, you can do whatever it is that is actually within the parameters of the appetite.
Awesome stuff. Sis Thabile, thank you so much for taking time out to speak to us. Thabile Nyaba, Chief Risk Officer at Old Mutual Insure, talking to us about effective risk management and the kind of organizational and risk cultures that unlock the potential of having a risk culture that is matured and one that is effective to mitigate some of the downside risk events associated with conducting business.
This feature was sponsored by Old Mutual Insure, an authorized financial services provider. Speak to your broker or visit ominsure.co.za.
Every family works differently. We're renovating, I ride a motorbike to work, and my husband is a stay-at-home dad.
Old Mutual Insure gives you car and home insurance that specializes in your needs. It's all the cover you need and nothing you don't. With our track record, you'll know you can count on us. Speak to your broker or visit ominsure.co.za to take that first step. The time is now. Old Mutual Insure is an authorized financial services provider.